Now, I've got a message this morning on the cross, a two-week series called The Heart of the Savior. Today is The Heart of the Savior Stops Beating. Next week, The Heart of the Savior beats again. But about 13 years ago, I recorded this song. It's on another album out there, and we have it today. I used to do this in a big drama, and it told the story of Jesus and what happened. And I've got so many other words going through my mind from these other songs. I hope we can pull this one off because it's about 6.5 minutes. But we're going to try. And this is a very worshipful song. Beautiful song. Powerful song. If we can pull it off. Amen. Kevin? Walking on the road to Jerusalem. The time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. You must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, saying, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. And why upon this day were there men condemned to die? And why were we standing here as soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one, he was violent, arrogant and loud. I can still hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. And then a Roman soldier, he grabbed my arm and screamed, you carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he had been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time. Then I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what did we see here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. And I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. Praise the Lord for Jesus. For Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our Savior, our Lord. Our God, that's why we have church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to set the scene a little for what the message is today. I want us to go right to the Scriptures. It's the most momentous time in a Christian's life is this week right here. Amen. It's not just a formality, it's reality. And let's just look at it together. Amen. Here we go. The message this morning, heart of the Savior stopped beating. That's just a crazy thought that God, and that's who Jesus is, that his heart would stop beating and he would die for you and me. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. Pop them up, Raj. And I'm going to skip some, but there's a ton. Here we go. And I want you to just hang in here with me. When the morning was come, early morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people, they took counsel against Jesus, say it with me, to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away, they delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. And basically a lot of things went on, but they got their wish, and Jesus Christ was given over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the common hall. They gathered him, the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Jesus. They put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him. And they took the reed, they smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. And they took the robe off of him. And they put his own raiment on him. They led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene. Simon was his name. And they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he wouldn't drink it. And they crucified Jesus. And parted his garments, casting lots, gambling for his clothes, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. Say that with me. And sitting down, they watched him there. There were there two thieves also. Upon his head they put, this is Jesus, King of the Jews, and there were also two thieves that were crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests were mocking him, and the scribes and the elders said, He saved others, himself he can't save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, they cast the same in their teeth. Now we're into the message a little bit. That's quite a part of Scripture, isn't it? Say, especially after a song like that. Song's pretty scriptural, isn't it? That's what we just read. It's amazing. Just want to talk to you a little bit about the crucifixion of Jesus this morning and some things that he said, and I want to hone in on one thing that happened specifically. Jesus was crucified around the third hour, Jewish time. That's 9 a.m. Okay? In the morning. They wanted to get this thing done when? Early. It's Passover, man. They can't have anything to do with a dead body and all this kind of mess going on. I got an early start. So Jesus was crucified early. During the first 3 hours, 9 till noon, a lot was going on. A lot of us think, he is crucified, he's dead, okay, it's out of my mind, I don't have to talk about it anymore. No, it was a pretty long event. That's why crucifixion happened. It was horribly excruciating. Matter of fact, how many ever used the word excruciating? Let me see your hands. The word didn't exist until the cross. The word excruciating didn't exist. Excruciating pain didn't exist till the cross. The word excruciating means the pain like that of the cross. So he hung there in excruciating agony for you and me. Keep looking. So morning time. Let's see what the soldiers were doing. We saw it in Scripture, so we'll just go them real fast. They parted his garments. They were casting lots for his coat. They were sitting around watching him. Look at him. Yeah, look at him. And they're just watching Jesus hang there on the cross. They were shaking their heads at him. You done that before, the people say? You ever wagged your head a little bit and say, I'll knock you out. See what I'm saying? Wag your head. That's the way they're wagging their head at him. It's easy to wag your head at God when he's pierced up on a cross, ain't it? Say. That's what they were doing. They mocked him, saying all kinds of things. They were cursing him. That was me. Before I became a Christian, I used to curse God. That's what I did. That's how I talked. I'm glad I don't do that no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doesn't make me any better. It means I'm a child of God. God's been working in my life, changing my tongue. Amen. Now my tongue's loosed and I can praise Him. Hallelujah. Instead of cursing. They were cursing. They're no different than us. I know we would think we wouldn't be like that, wouldn't we? Say, no, not me. I'd be nice. No, you wouldn't. You'd be the same way. How many sinners we got in the building? Let's raise hands if you're a sinner. Amen? That's us. We're not goody two-shoes here. So that's what was happening in the morning. Now I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. Okay? I want you to see what He does. I want you to see His response. Look at it. Listen to His words to His enemies. He's on the cross. Look what He says. Say it with me. Then said Jesus, say it with me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what He said to His enemies. Keep looking. Look what He said to the thief. There was two thieves. One thief realized, I deserve what I'm getting. This man doesn't. This man's a good man. He said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. What did Jesus say to a thief? Say it with me. And Jesus said unto him, say it now, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When? In 3 days? In 3 years? When was he going to be with him? Today. It's done. You with me, man. Can you imagine? Look at what else Jesus said. Here he is on the cross, excruciating pain. We didn't go into all the pain. I've done that before. From a doctor who did the whole thing, from the Bible, looked at it all, from history. Excruciating pain.
Unbelievable. Just a flesh hanging off his body. And he's nailed to the cross by his bones hanging there. But look what he said to his mama. Man, love your mama. Amen. Here's what he said to his mother. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, say it with me, woman, behold, your son. And then he cared for her. Look. Then he said to that disciple, most likely John, he said, behold your mama, your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home and took care of her. Amen? That's what Jesus did on the cross. Wow, why am I saying all that? I just want you to see it. The first 3 hours of the crucifixion were hours of hate, rejection, cruelty. But look at it. At the same time, say it with me. Love, forgiveness, mercy. That's why, you know, some people are just nuts and they say you shouldn't wear a cross. Because they think of hate, cruelty, instrument of death. You know what I think of when I see a cross? Listen to me. Love. Come on. Mercy. Forgiveness. Amen. The cross to some people might be a bad thing. To Gary Clark, that cross is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You died there for me. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a good thing. What a picture. What a contrast. What's going on here? Now, the last 3 hours, we're making headway. Stay with me. The last 3 hours. First 3 hours, probably about 9 to noon. The last 3 hours, definitely noon to 3. Let's look at it. Several things on this one. From the sixth hour, that's noon, Jewish time, there was darkness. Can you say darkness with me? Darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Okay? And when the sixth hour was come, this is Mark writing, there was what? Darkness over all the whole land until what hour? So that would have been from noon to what? 3. Keep looking. Luke wrote about it. You don't believe in that darkness stuff, do you, Pastor? It just turned dark when Jesus was on the cross. I believe every bit of it. Amen? It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. There was darkness from noon until 3 p.m. Now stay with me. Stay with me. At the very brightest time of day, darkness fell. I want you to feel it. Feel a little bit of darkness. Can you imagine if this happened at noon, say? In the middle of the day when it was so bright? Now this ain't dark. This is still light in here. Cut the lights back on. They're coming back up for us, okay? Get them back on. At the very brightest time of day, darkness fell. Now keep moving the message, Rod. Lights will come back on. We'll be fine. Come on. The word fail means happen to be. This was caused to be. This was to happen. God made this happen. Okay? And there's a point. I want to hone in here. I want you to see this. Listen to me, please, this morning. There was sudden darkness as if somebody had turned off the lights. Can you imagine? Wagging the head. There he is. All the craziness going on. And it's as if somebody went, and it was dark. Was it dark for a little while? Yes or no? No, it's dark for 3 hours. And we're not going to get into it. We could get into it. Was it an eclipse? It wasn't an eclipse because Passover is very interesting. You can't have an eclipse when Passover happens because that's all about the lunar situation and everything. Couldn't happen. Wasn't a dust storm. Wasn't anything like that. God did it. And so, see, if you want to try to get to heaven some other way, well, I'm a good guy, I'm a believer, you know. Here, let me do your little test. Why don't you just make it go dark from noon till 3, and then, you know, we'll talk to you. Amen? Or your little false religion you believe in, New Age, I want to feel good about myself, whatever it is. Well, brother, God ain't turning the lights out on that, is he, say, for you. He did it here because this is unique. This is special, what Jesus did. Keep looking, Raj. Just some verses on Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this is the condemnation that lights come into the world. Men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Then spake Jesus again of them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and shall have the light of life. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. See, this was light hanging on the cross. This was light hanging on the cross. That's why the lights went out. Y'all make, you make sense of that too, you say? That's who Jesus is. No sitting around and watching now. No abusive language now, I don't think. No shaking of the heads now. Only what? Horror now. I mean, this is a horrific scene anyway. But can you imagine? How do you feel when the lights go out? Say, do you get scared a little bit when it's just totally pitch black dark? And it's been light and all of a sudden it's just totally pitch black dark. Do you get scared? Yes or no? You get a little fearful, a little heart rate go, a little bit. If that happens at our house during a storm, and it happens sometimes in the nighttime, and we're in that three-story up top, that stilt house type we live in, and you know, when that would happen, and it has happened, I tell Joy, you be stay right there. I'll go get a light. Okay? Because it's just a little spooky, ain't it? Say. Well, that's what happened here. The lights went out. This was no normal act of nature. It was a very abnormal act of God. We got to fly. In great drama, God authenticated and declared that this Jesus was His one and only Son, dying for the sins of all mankind. In case you think, well, you know, what about Muslims that believe in Allah and Mohammed? They're wrong. Are you hearing me say? You say that today and you think, you know... My friend, if we don't tell the truth, people are going to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ died. The lights didn't go out for Muhammad. You listening? Say. And He didn't take off on a horse and fly out of Jerusalem. That didn't happen either. Okay? Jesus Christ. We can't play that. We've got to be honest. This is what the Bible teaches. Listen to Jesus' earlier words. Here He is. He's being crucified. And then right before He went to the cross, He says to Him, I was with you daily. When I was with you daily, you didn't stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of what? Darkness. This was all showing that this was Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Throughout His earthly ministry, Jesus was hounded by religious leaders to show them a sign. How many remember reading that in the Bible? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Pop it up. Well, God did. You want a sign? Here's a sign. Lights out. Amen? The light of the world, out. That's what was happening. By the way, darkness and light are mentioned about 400 times in the Bible. Beginning with Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. All the way to Revelation 16:10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness. So, darkness and lights all through the Bible. God's first act over creation and the heavens and the earth was, say it with me, let there be light. Now look at what God's saying. Look at it. Say it with me. Let there be darkness. It's just an interesting look, isn't it? So, usually I read this, it was dark, and I keep going. No, it was dark the whole afternoon. Crazy. Keep looking. Listen to Jesus around 3 p.m. and we're moving now. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say it with me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That came from His voice around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. During these 3 hours of darkness, listen, this is a question. During these 3 hours of darkness from noon till three, was this the exact time our sin was placed on Jesus? Here's my answer. I believe so. I believe so. I believe Jesus Christ took our sin on Him and the lights went out. And I think when He said that, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe that is in some supernatural way that I cannot understand that God and His Son and the Holy Spirit have designed so that you and I could have eternal life. But that is when Jesus Christ took my sin on Him. Amen? Took your sin. I believe that. Isaiah 53, He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He's despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs, He's carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we're healed. He was taken from prison and judgment. And who shall declare His generation? He was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was He stricken on the cross at this time. Listen to the last two sayings of Jesus this morning. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Luke says it this way, a little different. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Keep looking. So two statements I believe Jesus made at the end. And here's the order, I believe. Number one, say it with me. Help me. It is. One more time. Can we just scream it because we can? Here we go. It is finished! I don't know if he had the strength to do it like that, but we can because we got the strength because we love him. Amen? Come on. It's finished! Woke some people up. Here we go. His work was done. We're moving, Raj. Not I am finished, but it is finished. That's what he did. Why do you make such a big deal? And you crazy church people make a big deal out of the cross. Because it's a big deal, man. It's finished. That's why I don't follow some other religion. Why? Because it ain't finished. Amen? It's finished. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, vicariously suffered on the cross. That means he took our place in our stead for our sins as the Lamb of God. Matter of fact, that's what John the Baptist said first time he saw him. With his own eyeballs. He said, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's who Jesus was on that cross. He was our sacrifice, the Lamb of God, dying for you and me. This is the second statement. So what was that next to the last statement? Help me. It is finished. The last statement. I believe the last statement that Jesus said. Right here. Say it with me. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Amen? Here we see the victorious Son of God releasing His Spirit in death. And you got to get this. If you don't get much today, I hope you get this. I got this in my office this week. It helped me this week. Here we go. Look at what Jesus did. Pop it up one more time. Here we see the victorious Son of God. Say the word with me. Releasing His in death. Did Jesus ever say in the Bible, no man takes my life from me? Did he ever say that, yes or no? Yes. Nobody took his life from him. And I saw this clearer than ever this week. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Why? Because it's finished. Did you get it or not? Say. Because it's finished. But I learned something more this week. Keep looking. This was his final act on the cross. I commend my spirit. I'm going to take my last breath on the cross. And here's the point. Jesus entrusted himself to the Father, knowing he had paid the penalty for our sins and his resurrection was absolutely assured. Can you read that with me? Because that's good stuff you need to get in your noggin. Jesus entrusted himself to the Father, knowing he had paid the penalty for our sins and his resurrection was absolutely assured. And here's what it helped me this week in my office. I never saw it. Jesus had faith in his Father that he could breathe his last breath and it was going to be okay. And I know now myself better this week that Gary can breathe his last breath and it's going to be okay. Because he resurrected, I'm going to resurrect. Because he lives, I live. He trusted his Father. Matter of fact, my wife's favorite verse, Joy, hit me again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6, for we must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus showed us right there, when you can't understand, when it's hard, when death's coming, if you know me as your Lord and Savior, you can trust God, it's going to be okay, and you're going to live again. Did you get it? Say. He did that. No man takes my life from me. I give my life. Because I know I've got a God who's going to raise me up in 3 days. Keep looking. Did Jesus say he would rise again when he was alive? Yes or no? Many times. Look at just one of them. Matthew 20. Behold, he told his disciples, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, before it ever happened, unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. Watch it. Shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, scourge, and what? Crucify him. Say that last part with me. And the third, he'll rise again. Amen? So he did what he was supposed to do. That was the plan of God for you and me to be saved. And now it's finished. And I give my spirit and my last breath, knowing God's going to raise my body up again. The heart of the Savior, we're done with the message. I want you to see this. The heart of the Savior, it stopped beating so yours and mine could beat for all eternity. Amen? That's what this whole week's about. And if you don't know, if you might be here today, and I hope you are. You might say, Pastor, I don't know all that stuff you're telling me. I didn't know Jesus loved me like that. Did God love me like that? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to tell you. Amen? God loves you. Sinners. He loves you. And that's why his heart stopped beating. He finished the work on the cross. He took your sin on him. My sin on him. And when it was done, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's finished. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, Father, knowing I'll rise again. Did he rise again? And we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. Little different mood next Sunday. Amen? Little different mood next. This is somber. Tough. Next week, celebration. He comes out of that grave. But you can't get to the empty tomb without the cross. Amen? And that's what he did for us. Say that verse with me. Come on, let's say it right now, loud and clear. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And Jesus said, I have called you friends. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord for Jesus and his word today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.